The man screamed again, this time all rage and anguish, void of words. I lifted a hand and stepped forward, my first instinct to help him. Before I got close, the ground began to shake. The cliff face rumbled and slits of seething orange light appeared, and then widened until I faced the second set of eyes, eyes the size of subway tunnels opening on the great marble cliff. I stumbled several steps back, and that cliff face proved to be exactly that, a face, cold and beautiful and harsh around that fiery gaze. The quaking in the earth increased, and a voice louder than a Metallica concert spoke. The raw sense of the words, the vicious anger and hate behind them, hitting me far more heavily than mere volume.
Get out!
The sheer force of presence behind that voice seized me and threw me violently back, away from the tortured man at the cliffside and out of the soul gaze. The mental connection snapped like dry spaghetti, and the same force that had thrown my mind away from the soul gaze sent my physical body flying back through the air. I hit an old cardboard box filled with empty bottles and heard glass shattering beneath me. The heavy leather duster held, and no broken shards buried themselves in my back. For a second or two, I just lay on my back, stunned. My thoughts were a hectic whirlpool I couldn't calm or control. I stared up at the city's light pollution against the low clouds until some tiny voice in me started screaming that I was in danger. I shoved myself to my knees just as the bear creature smacked a trash can aside with one of its paws and started toward me. My head was still ringing with the after effects of the soul gaze and the psychic assault that had broken the connection. I lifted my blasting rod, summoned up every bit of will I could scrape together out of the confusion, and spat a word that sent another lance of flame toward the bear creature. This time the blast didn't even slow it down. The set of orange eyes flared with a sudden luminance, and my fire splashed against an unseen barrier, dispersing around the creature in sheets of scarlet. It let out a screaming roar and lumbered toward me. I tried to get up, stumbled, and fell at the feet of the little old homeless guy, who leaned on his cane and stared at the creature. I had a dim impression of his features. Asian, a short white beard around his chin, heavy white eyebrows and corrective glasses that made his eyes look the size of an owl's.
"Run, damn it!"
I shouted at him. I tried to lead by example, but my balance was still whirling and I couldn't get off the ground. The old man did not turn to run. He took off his glasses and pushed them at me. "Hold, please." Then he took a deliberate step forward with his cane, placing himself between me and the bear creature. The creature hurled itself at him with a bellow, rearing up on its hindmost legs. It plunged down at the white-haired man, jaws gaping, and I couldn't do anything but watch it happen. The little man took two steps to one side, pirouetting like a dancer. The end of his wooden cane lashed out and struck the creature's jaws with a crunching impact. Bits of broken yellow teeth flew from the creature's mouth. The little man continued his turn and evaded its claws by maybe an inch. He wound up behind the creature, and it turned to follow him, huge jaws snapping in rage. The man darted back, staying just ahead of the thing's jaws, and in a blur of sudden light on metal, he drew from his cane a long blade, the classic single-edged, chisel-pointed katana. The steel flashed at the creature's eyes, but it ducked low enough that the scything blade only whipped the top couple of inches from one of its ears. The creature screamed, entirely out of proportion with the injury, a yowl that almost sounded human. It lurched back, shaking its head, a fine spray of blood sprinkling from its wounded ear. At this point, I noticed three things. One, the creature was paying me no attention whatsoever. Yippee-ki-yay. My head still spun wildly, and if it had come for me, I didn't think I could have done anything about it. Two, the old man's sword was not reflecting light. It was emitting it. The water-patterned steel of the blade glowed with a steady silver flame that slowly grew brighter. Three, I could feel the humming power of the sword, even from several yards away. It throbbed with a steady, deep strength, as quiet and unshakable as the earth itself. In my entire life, I'd seen only one sword imbued with that much power. But I knew that there were a couple more.
"Oi!" shouted the little old man, his English heavily accented. "Arceo, let him go! You have no power here!"
The bear creature, Arceo, I presumed, focused its four-eyed gaze on the little man and did something unsettling. It spoke. Its voice came out quiet, smooth, melodious, words somehow slithering out through the bear's jaws and throat.
"Shiro, look at yourself, little fool. You are an old man. You were at the peak of your strength when last we met. You cannot defeat me now."
Shiro narrowed his eyes, his sword gripped in one hand, the length of wooden sheath held in the other.
"Did you come here to talk?"
Ursiel's head tilted to one side, and then the smooth voice murmured,
"No, indeed I did not."
It whirled, whipping its head toward me, and lunged. As it did, there was a rustle of cloth, and then an old overcoat spun through the air, spreading like a fisherman's net. It fell over Ursiel's face, and the demon drew up short with a frustrated howl. It reached up and tore the coat from its head. While it did, the tall, young black man stepped between Ursiel and me. As I watched, he drew a long, heavy saber from the scabbard at his hip. The sword hummed with the same power as Shiro's, though in a slight variation, a different note within the same chord. Silver light flared from the blade's steel, and behind the demon, Shiro's blade answered it with more of its own radiance. The young man looked back at me, and I caught a glimpse of dark, intense eyes before he faced the demon and said in a rumbling basso, words flavored with a thick Russian accent,
"Ursiel, let him go! You have no power here!"
Ursiel hissed, the orange eyes blazing brighter by the moment.
"Sonya, traitor, do you really think any of us fears even one of the three in your pathetic hands? So be it. I will take you all."
Sonya spread his empty hand to one side of his body in mocking invitation and said nothing.